Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Welcome back to the IL Press Podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined as always by Ty Zanders. And today we have a special guest, Dan Abert, in the booth. What up?
What's up, guys? Glad to be on.
And it is Wednesday. We are talking about the 2018 Inside Lacrosse recruiting issue. On Monday, our Power 100 seniors, members of the class of 2018, dropped on InsideLacrosse.com. And we are here to discuss that as well as the top incoming classes. A lot of analysis to unpack. I guess to start, we will talk about a new number one in the member of this class, Joey Epstein, an attackman from Landon School, Bethesda, Maryland, heading to Johns Hopkins. Ty, you're very familiar with Epstein's game. How do you describe him as a player?
Yeah, I think when I watch Joey, which I have, you know, dozens of times, I think if you watch him, you don't really think of a Maryland attackman. You know, I think down here we're known for being more so finesse, but I think Joey just kind of brings a toughness and work ethic that I think will work really well. You know, at Hopkins, I know I'm going to, you know, watch the Blue Jays practice this week and very curious to see what he brings to the table. But, I mean, I know that he broke the Landon points record, you know, one of the best programs in the country by, I want to say, at least 150 points. It'd be very hard to break that record. So, yeah, great X guy, more of a goal scorer, run by you, run over you, just a very formidable attackman there from Landon.
And the number two recruit, Will Bowen, from Boston College High School, a defenseman going to North Carolina. And number three, Quentin Buckman, a midfielder from Santa Margarita Catholic in California, heading to Notre Dame. So the top three players at each position are the top three overall recruits. From there, Brett Makar, a defenseman heading to Maryland, and Jeff Connor, a midfielder heading to Virginia, round out the top five. Dan, you know, this could have been sliced any number of different ways. Is there a guy that, in, you know, whether it be the top five or the top ten, that you particularly like and are really excited about, you know, what his career might unfold as he has 4 years stepping foot on campus?
Yeah, there's two guys in particular I'll give a shout out to. I think the first is Brett Makar, because, you know, me and Ty have kind of followed his career, and he's one of those guys who doesn't play a lot of club ball. So I'm really interested to kind of see what all this hype about this New York defenseman is about. I think a lot of people kind of pen him as the next great Maryland defenseman going to a program that has just always seemed to produce really top-tier talent, especially great cover guys. And then Quentin Buckman, just such a rise for this guy to kind of, you know, start out on the West Coast kind of as a relatively unknown and then all the way up to the number one ranked midfielder in his class. Just a tremendous, tremendous shooter and such an interesting release and shooting stroke. Really can't wait to see what he can do in college.
For me, two guys that stand out in the top 10 that I'm going to be particularly interested in. One is Chase Scanlon. He's a midfielder from ING Academy, heading to Loyola. He was originally committed to Syracuse. What a summer this kid had. He was a late addition to the Iroquois national squad that won a bronze in Israel at the FIL World Championships. He replaced Zed Williams, who was unable to play due to injury. And then his Coquitlam Adnacks, Minto Cup champions, quite controversially. He was, I believe, the second leading scorer on the team, but still wasn't. I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure he didn't even play in the clinching game. So he ran a little bit hot and cold, and I know that it was one of those situations where when he was hot, he looked like, you know, one of the best, most dynamic offensive players in the junior box loop. But there were times where didn't necessarily mesh perfectly with some of the other guys on the floor. And talking with some folks who both played against the Iroquois national team and also were around that squad, I guess the point I'm getting at is that there's just so much different. There's so many different ways that Scanlon's career could unfold. You know, he strikes me as, you know, kind of a two way but offensive oriented midfielder. At least his first couple of seasons at Loyola, certainly for the Greyhounds, you know, the offense is going to start and stop with Pat Spencer, and it'll be interesting to see how, you know, a guy like Scanlon can work his way into the unit. And then the other one that I'm really fascinated by and going to keep an eye on is Isaiah Dawson. He's our number 10 recruit in the class of 2018, had previously twice been ranked number one in this group. He's heading to Harvard, and you know that is an aspect of this ranking. Certainly the Crimson coming off of a season in which they started incredibly hot and did not finish so. A lot of turmoil in the offseason, particularly relative to this recruiting class with the departure of Zach Tucci and Jack Myers. And for Dawson, you know, he's a player. Last week on this podcast, we talked about the value of an infectious personality, and I think, you know, Dawson exhibits that. And I really think he's going to arrive in Cambridge trying to immediately be a leader. But what I'm fascinated by is what type of role he's going to fill. Certainly, the Crimson graduated a ton of talent offensively, and there's going to be opportunity. But, you know, Dawson is at his best coming from defense to offense. I remember the first time he really made a strong impression on me was playing with the West underclass team at the Under Armour All-America game underclass tournament a couple years ago. And it was his willingness and ability to play defense that immediately jumped out for a guy who is so highly touted. You know, he didn't put up eye-popping offensive numbers with Bishop School, you know, a group where he was playing alongside a couple of really, really talented, highly projected college players. So now arriving and playing at the D1 ranks, I'm just really curious to see what type of role he is going to kind of assume. But Ty, you know, one of the things we've talked about a lot of these most prominent players for a long time, particularly a couple of conversations around both the Under Armour All-America selections as well as the game itself. So I'm interested in some guys that you've spotted and we've ranked in the bottom half of the Power 100 that you wouldn't be surprised to see exceed their ranking.
Yeah, I think to me that there's a lot of Ivy League guys that stand out to me, you know, particularly the midfield. You know, number 71, Billy Coyle, a kid, a lefty who committed pretty early on from Malvern Prep. And just, you know, you always want to send a kid to a PG year and have him really blossom. And I think, like, he got to Hill Academy and, you know, he became tough. He became, you know, his hands were outstanding. His stick skills were off the charts. Had a really, really good year for the Pride. Like what he can do, I think that he will probably start off playing some midfield, which he did this year at Hill, and maybe, you know, bump down to attack, just like John Lombardi, as, you know, some kids kind of go through the ranks and graduate at Cornell. I like him. I like Greg Gatto, who we have 82, a midi from Ridgefield, big boy. I think someone who, like, you know, if you look at his body, his frame is built like Ben Reeves. So between those two and Bo Pedersen from Park City, Utah, go to Princeton, also a natural attackman who will play midi early on in his career. Really nice midfield group for the Tigers. I think those three stand out to me.
And Dan, how about for you?
First guy I'll give a shout out to is also an Ivy League guy, Jake Stevens, a midi from Culver, one of really a handful of really talented Culver middies, you know, graduating in this 2018 year. I feel like he's a guy who will go in there right away and somehow find a way to get onto the field, whether it's kind of playing off the wing, is not unlike Zach Currier did, another guy from Culver going to Princeton. I think he's going to find a way to fit into the offense down the road, especially with all the talent that they've got bringing in. And then I'm going to give a shout out to a defenseman, Jonathan Taub, who's kind of been on our radar for the past 2 years, one of the better defensemen coming out of New Jersey. And I think he's kind of going into a system at Rutgers that will really benefit his style. He's super aggressive. You know, I've gone on the record calling him Michael Rexrode 2.0. He kind of really does feel like that type of player, a big guy who will go for those takeaways and get the ball on the floor with regularity. I think he fits in really well.
I'm going to break my own rule in answering this question because Peyton Cormier is a guy who is not in the bottom half. He's ranked number 26. He is the last five-star in the class of 2018, but he's a guy that we haven't talked very much about, largely due to his decision. You know, he was originally classified as a 2019, and then he's going to arrive in Charlottesville, or has arrived in Charlottesville, a year ahead of schedule, and he brings a needed goal-scoring punch to that unit. And, you know, Ty, I'm interested particularly because of your knowledge of Virginia's offense in terms of what reasonable expectations might be for Cormier. Is this a guy that's going to get on the field right away, you think?
I think so. I think he's probably a kid that I would bet on scoring at least 20 goals, 25 goals even, minimum as a freshman. I think that, look at his frame, he's huge. He's huge and he moves very well, probably 6'3", 200 or so. and has really, you know, nimble footwork and stick skills that I just feel like UVA will utilize, you know, whether he's coming out of the box or as that third attack with the Dodger like Kraus opening things up. I could see maybe some teams short sticking him at first, and then like by game 4 or 5, if you do so, you will pay. So, yeah, I think, again, you know, Cormier was not a kid that people know a ton about except for being that first commit in the class and then reclassified, signed his NLI, got a pretty, you know, serious sniff from one of UVA's rivals, and they had some they had a spot open and decided to sign him. So I think if he had another year, probably would have been Under Armour All-American, but comes in as a five-star, and I think he'll have a very good career in Charlottesville.
It's worth noting that there are a couple other, I guess, non-traditional recruits in this incoming class for the Cavaliers. Harry Welford was an Under Armour All-American in 2017, the midfielder out of MICDS in Missouri, as well as Hall Peters, the defenseman from St. Ignatius in California, also a 2017 Under Armour All-American. Peters decided to take a gap year. Welford did a PG year. So this Cavalier squad brings a lot of talent in. And let me start there as we transition into talking about the top classes. Are the Cavaliers the best group in the class of 2018?
It was a pretty easy decision to have them number one. I think it's just, it's got to be exciting if you're a Virginia fan looking for a Final Four appearance out of the Wahoos. I think they'll probably get that in the next couple of years, the 19s and 18s they have coming in.
So let's talk about that group in greater detail. Not only did we, you know, mention the three guys that took the non-traditional path to joining the class of 2018, but also a handful of switched commitments. Jeffrey Connor, the midfielder that we talked about, who's in the top five. Jack Simmons, a midfielder, originally committed to Georgetown. Xander Dixon, an attackman, originally committed to Penn. One of the guys that's kind of been a bedrock of this class, so to speak, is Grayson Salad, midfielder from Mannheim Township in Pennsylvania. One of the earlier commits in this group who, you know, was... I remember when he committed, it was almost as if, you know, Virginia had had this legacy of, or 3-year run of the number one midfielder in their class, first Ryan Conrad, then Doc Zakin, and then Matt Moore. And the question was, is Slog going to be the next? And ends up being that, you know, it turned out that Connor was the one that was kind of in the position to carry on that torch, and maybe that'll end up being the case, but interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, and I think if you look at that class, they have three middies that I think, you know, will all play... you know, or all could play a significant role. I mean, Simmons is a player I know Dan and I have watched a ton. Is just a lights-out shooter, you know, arguably the best shooter in the country from the midfield position. So you like what he can do, and I think both him and Jeff Connor, and Saladay really, are excellent playing both ways in the new rules. I think kid that if they're stuck on defense, you know, you're not hurting. And I think Connor, I think, is just one of those players that, you know, in some ways a late bloomer. I mean, committed to St. Joe's initially and was not an outstanding recruit, you know, initially. So if you look at his development, he went from, I think, 100 points to over 150, I think, in the Central League in Philly, which is, you know, a pretty darn good public school league. So with Connor at number five, you know, I think he's someone that could really help Virginia's, you know, top two midfields wherever he is, and same with Simmons and Saladay, one of which will probably be, you know, playing D-Middy.
Rounding out the group, Cade Sostad, down low playing defense. He is out of Highland Park in Texas, just big, mean, physical defensive player. Our number one ranked goalie, Patrick Birkinshaw, out of Brunswick School in Connecticut, plays with Eclipse. I mean, he's just the total package and his ability to, he's big, so he fills up the net. He is really quick and agile, so he's able to get down on low shots, make plays outside of the crease, tends to give up some rebounds, but really good at controlling them, and excellent in the clearing game as well. So this Cavalier squad coming in is really something. Dan, when you look around the rest of the groups, you know, there was, to Ty's point, maybe some clear delineation between number one and the rest, but that the number 2 to 5 spots, you know, there was a fair amount of conversation about it. Is there one group that you like as we ranked Yale number 2, North Carolina number 3, Notre Dame number 4, and Johns Hopkins number 5?
I'll give a shout out to North Carolina. I think a few years ago we kind of penned that this class was almost unbeatable in a way, and that included Ricky Mizon, who's now playing Stanford football. I still think this is a really strong group, and you know, Will Bowen's the guy I think everybody's going to be talking about going into the season, because he's just, you know, I know Ty's kind of said that every coach that he's talked to says that this is the best defenseman I've seen. His coaches have gone on the record saying this is the best player I've coached. So there's a lot of hype going on around with this guy, and they also just bring in just a lot of bodies and a lot of really great athletes, and I feel like some of those guys may be able to make some instant impact for the Tar Heels, especially after, you know, they lose a lot of senior guys after last season.
A trio of attackmen, Jacob Kelly out of Calvert Hall, Nicky Solomon out of Centennial in Georgia, and Brian Cameron out of Bishop Gordon in New Hampshire. Ty, what's your thoughts on the Tar Heels class?
You know, I'm very impressed. Like Dan said, I think they it felt like they would end up in the number one spot when they had Ricky Mays on board. But again, I think that there's a lot of athletes, a lot of depth here. I think that's kind of what this group provides more than anything. What I'm watching is how they use their incoming attackmen. I think that, you know, they've had Solomon and Kelly and Cameron on board for quite some time. Who do they maybe, you know, bump up to play midfield? You know, who runs out of the box? You know, that's kind of an unknown. I mean, I'm not sure who I would run with the most. I think Kelly is a very good X guy and great from the wings, and Solomon could play some midfield, you know, athletic enough, and Cameron, you know, a big body as well. So tough to say, you know, who runs midfield, but I like this group a lot. I think that, you know, down low, you know, between Bowen and Evan Egan, who is from Torrey Pines, probably some instant impact types. And then Caden Johnson probably doesn't get enough love. A very good goalie out of Mannheim Township, won a state championship with them this year. And then, you know, a sleeper would be Connor Mayer from Calvert Hall. Pipeline continues. He's a great D-middy who I think will get some time as well.
Well, we're going to talk about some of the other classes in the top 10. There are a couple of interesting storylines that we got to get to, but first, we got to shout out our sponsor for today, Simple Contacts. Ty, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Simple Contacts is a delivery system for contacts, way to order. It's awesome. Basically, I got my notification that it was time to renew. I hadn't purchased through Simple Contacts before, so got them in touch with my eye doctor. They verified my prescription. And then 2 days later, I had this box show up, and I was like, I didn't order anything. What was it? And I couldn't remember that I'd order it because it was so simple to order at Simple Contacts. Simple Contacts is awesome because it's convenient. There are a million things demanding your time, and contact lenses shouldn't be one of them. Simple Contacts lets you renew your prescription and order your contacts from anywhere in minutes. Simple Contacts vision test is self-guided and takes less than 5 minutes. Think of how much time you saved compared to making an appointment, getting to the eye doctor, and more. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists. Review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses that you're familiar with, so you never have to shop around to find your lenses at the best price. It has a 5-star rated experience over 4,500 times on the App Store. Text with the support team, and you always get to speak with a person if needed. And with all of that, our listeners get $20 off by visiting simplecontacts.com/lacrosse. Try it yourself and save $20 on your lenses by going to simplecontacts.com/lacrosse and enter the code lacrosse at checkout. All right, and we are back talking about the top classes in the group of 2018. I mentioned that there are a couple of interesting stories. One that's fascinating to follow. The Yale Bulldogs, reigning national champions, really establishing their foothold in the market as far as the eminent recruiters are concerned. Dan, what's your reaction to this Yale Bulldog group?
Well, there are a group of guys who've probably really come on within the past 1 or 2 years. I think Matt Brandau is kind of a guy that we've kind of pegged to kind of fill into that really great Yale goal-scoring role that Ben Reeves kind of took to perfection last season, but also was preceded by with Conrad Oberbeck. Really a guy who can dodge and just create for himself, but also for his teammates. And then just a lot of other guys who are really athletic and kind of fit that, just that big, nasty, athletic in the middle of the field mold that Yale has built the recruiting classes around. Like Ty mentioned earlier, Greg Gatto, Sean Cutton. They've got, of course, Joseph Newman who's coming in. And, you know, the prospect of him being mentored by T.D. Erlin, you know, he's already the number one faceoff guy. Him going in and learning everything that T.D. has to offer is going to make for a very, very dangerous faceoff man down the road.
One guy that I really like in this group is Jack Biestek. He's a two-sport athlete from Carolina Cardinal Gibbons School, originally committed to Notre Dame, and he's going to play both sports at Yale. And Ty, correct me if I'm wrong, but and we might not have found this out until after we transmitted the recruiting issue, he's not the only guy that is expected to play two sports at Yale, including playing lacrosse for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Spencer Olsen, who was committed to Ohio State for quite some time, from Mad Lax and South Lakes in Virginia. I've heard that he's played very well in the gridiron so far and could maybe, you know, play some D-Mitty. I think you look at what Tyler Warner did, you know, for Yale last year. I could see him maybe switching from long stick to short stick and filling that role, though I think kids like Jack Okun from Brunswick in Connecticut and Jake Wernow from Westfield, New Jersey could also play D-Mitty, but, you know, definitely some depth there at that position.
One of the other interesting storylines in this group is Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I mentioned that they lost Biestek, and in so doing, lost the only member of their class who was just a 2018 committed and was going to go to Notre Dame. As it is, the Fighting Irish are bringing in a group in which every single player in the class either committed somewhere else, is PGing, or I think there's one player who might have arrived a year ahead of expectations. This group was not looking very hot at this time last year, and then an incredible closing surge in October and November to land first and foremost Quentin Buckman, originally committed to Bryant and then to Boston University, but it went on from there. Ty, how do you react to this Fighting Irish group?
Well, I think to keep it simple, they kind of did what they do, you know, and they just flipped some recruits, especially some kids that I didn't really expect to flip, like Griffin Westland for one, but I like it a lot. I think that there's definitely some depth, as we've mentioned, as there should be with any top five group. But some players that you should expect to come in and make a pretty significant impact. I think Jose Boyer is someone who, you know, is an Under Armour kid. Isn't talked about a whole lot, but I think will probably be a day one starter at long stick. And I just think that, in general, there are a couple kids. I'm not sure where they fit, maybe running out of the box or playing attack. Or McCreary, you know, Wesley can play either position. Just some very, very good depth there. I think Justin Chang's another guy who flipped from Bryant, I believe it was, and then Quinn McCann, who flipped from Penn. Just a number of kids that you could see getting the field pretty early on for the Irish.
The last interesting class that I want to talk about is Lehigh's incoming group. They're ranked number 8. They've got that the class is headlined by the co-number one faceoff specialist, Mike Sisselberger, whose legend built over the last year and a half, and particularly over the course of the summer within the inside lacrosse offices. Dan, how do you feel about this incoming Mountain Hawk group?
Yeah, I've personally been really high on this Lehigh class for a while, and I've kind of, you know, talked with you guys. I was like, I think Lehigh's got a sneaky good class, but here we finally solidified it. It's actually a top 10 class. Sisselberger is kind of the go-to guy, just our co-number one face-off specialist. But then I look at so many other guys who have really come on, you know, over the past couple of years. Judah Hicks was a standout at Under Armour about 2 years ago, and Lehigh was able to grab him kind of late in the game. Cole Kurse is a guy, you know, attackman. He comes from a long line of really successful lacrosse players. Chad Kataka is a really kind of, he can play both positions. He's super athletic and can kind of seem to be a guy who can generate a lot of offense, whether it's for himself or for other guys. Patrick McElroy, you know, a guy who I believe was committed to Denver, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he switched to them. Tommy Schelling, a guy who I know the coaching staff's really high on. And our boy Jesse James West also could be a contender to play at that attack spot down the line.
And it's interesting because I think if they held on to three players who flipped elsewhere, you know, namely Dylan Gregar, who wound up going to Penn, and other one was Griffin Hawthorne, defenseman from Massapequa, going to Notre Dame now, it would have been a top five class, which would be a huge moment, you know, for that program. It already is. But I just, again, I like the numbers in this class. I think there's a number of guys who can make an impact at attack and some good D guys. And obviously, Sisselberger will be, you know, lights out at the X.
What this means is that if you've got Yale and Lehigh in the top eight, you've got a couple who are traditionally up there that aren't, but still have a pretty strong group coming in. How do you react to the idea of Denver at number 10 and Syracuse at number 15?
Denver, I think, is a class that's very heavy on offense, and some kids that I feel like will hit in, you know, fit in very well. Drew Erickson and Alex Simmons are excellent. You know, Simmons, a Canadian who can play attacker midi. Erickson is a really, you know, nice wing shooter, wing finisher, who moves well off ball. Just a number of guys who you know, I like. And I think Ben Williams as well. He's a Notre Dame switch. He'll be great down low.
Dan, what are your thoughts on the Orange?
This is a huge class in particular. I think, you know, I think both from physical numbers but also the physical size of some of the guys coming in. Peter Funariti, Matt Mangan, Andrew, and Justin Kim are all just huge guys. And I feel like this is a class that's going to bring a lot of needed, you know, athleticism up to the Carry Dome. But, you know, Griffin Cook's a guy who kind of has that upstate scoring pedigree that I think Syracuse kind of has needed since Kevin Rice has graduated. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people have been making that comparison with Griffin Cook. I think he's a guy who just kind of seems to be like a definite guy who's going to pan out.
With all that said, we can't talk about recruiting without hitting on at least the Blue Jays and the Terrapins. I know their fans will be disappointed if we don't talk about them. Ty, give us your quick rundown of Johns Hopkins' incoming group.
They're big. I think that's my biggest takeaway. If you look at the roster, it'll end up being a lot of kids that are somewhere between like 6'2 and 6'4 and 200 pounds and beyond. I think that, again, you can't stress enough, you know, how important, you know, big boys and athletes, you know, are in that conference in the Big Ten. So I like them a lot. I think Evan Zinn is a kid who will come in and could be a first-line middie from day one. I think the Blue Jays lost 4 or 5 middies to graduation. So Zinn is just a big shooter. Reminds me a lot of, you know, former Blue Jay John Rannigan. I can't wait to watch him. As I mentioned, he's someone who I'm looking forward to seeing in practice this week at Homewood. And I think another big position of need for Hopkins by graduating Brock Turnbull is goalie. And they bring in two, and Liam Dara from Calvert Hall up the street here in Towson, and then Alex Gainey, who was a switch from Holy Cross. Gainey's the one I like. We've watched him a lot at Committed Academy, and I've watched him a ton in the ISL and with Alexachusetts. So Gainey's someone who could come in and you know, see some time at goalie. I know Ryan Darby and Jacob Jackalone are two more they see you know, battling for that position. But like the Blue Jays a lot, I think they also lost some great players. Could have had, I think it's 3 Under Armour All-Americans that flipped elsewhere. But nonetheless, just an outstanding class for them.
And Dan, what is your thought on the incoming Terps?
It feels a lot similar to the class that they're sort of replacing, you know, 4 years down the line. Guys like Connor Kelly, Adam DeMillo, that great group of guys that really complemented that big senior class that came before them. You know, Matt Rambo, Colin Heacock, and all those guys. You know, Brett Maycar probably I would project to be, you know, instant impact kind of freshman for them. But they also have Stephen Cornwell coming in. George Wachalens is a Under Armour All-American coming in as well. Kyle Long is a guy I'm really excited to see. I feel like he first sees the field as a midfielder, but he could make that transition to attack. Just a super speedster and has absurd amount of assist numbers playing outside of Philadelphia. And then they also got, you know, shooters, some guys who are going to have to replace Connor Kelly and John Geppert and Joshua Kaufman, two guys who I think could kind of fit into that role.
All right, we're going to end by going around the horn and finishing up with two questions. Number one, which player are you most excited to see advance through his college career? And number two, which player do you think is going to make the most immediate impact or the most substantial impact? Because I guess most immediate means like a guy who's going to score 5 goals in his first game. And I don't care about that. Who's going to make the biggest impact as a freshman?
That's tough. I think the two guys I'm most excited to watch would be Epstein and Chase Scanlon, as we've talked about. Biggest impact, you know, that is that's difficult. I could see it being someone like one of the two D guys. I think Will Bowen is someone who I think, as we mentioned, is the best D guy I've ever seen, and Carolina needs that help defensively. I can see Bowen being the most impactful defenseman. Same with Cade Sostad. Very, very needed at UVA is defensive help. Two big bodies there that I could see get some time early.
Danny?
I feel like this is kind of cheating, but I think the player I'm most excited to see is Quentin Buchman, just because he's just so much fun to watch. Like, this guy just, like, will, at the turn of a dime, just produce so much velocity on his shot with just his wrists. And it's just like, wow. Like, it feels like I haven't kind of seen this type of player in a couple of years. As for instant impact, this is really tough. I feel like it has to be Will Bowen.
Yeah.
A guy who could come in right away and be your number one defenseman. I feel like that is really all he could ask for as a coach.
I'm going to go a different direction with Instant Impact, because I think it, you know, basically there are three ways that a guy can be like the most indisputably impactful. Either scoring goals or at least producing points, winning faceoffs or making stops. And for me, and actually I'm going to go with, both of my answers are going to be players for the same team. And we haven't talked about this team yet. The player that I'm most excited about watching is John Lombardi. I'm really interested to see how he pairs with Jeff Teat. I think that his skill set is really complementary. I do think that there's going to be an interesting settling in period of who's stick the ball is in more frequently and more often and for a longer duration. And I think Lombardi will provide a dodging complement to Teat's feeding that will help to alleviate some of the pressure that the Big Red faced when Teat got locked off at the end of last season. And then the guy that I expect to make the strongest and biggest immediate impact is goalie Chase Erlin. I think he's going to win the job. I think it's going to be really important, and I think he's going to have to play well. I think he will play well. I think he's going to be one of the best goalies in college across next season. So that's my take.
I like it. I think, yeah. You know, one more name that I'll add that I touched on a little bit is Chase Scanlon. I think that I would not be shocked if he is the kid in the top 10, even from the midfield perspective, that ends up having the most points as a freshman. I think that even though they had Pat Spencer as a senior, you know, he was a great recruit. I think maybe our number 14 at that point. I still feel like Scanlon's the kind of kid that Loyola doesn't really get. So I would not be shocked to see him get 50 points in a league that is very competitive, but, you know, not a gauntlet like the Big Ten or ACC or Ivy League. So I could see Scanlon really blowing up as a freshman.
Yeah, and I feel like he has a high potential for highlight reel worthy goals.
You'll be cutting them up pretty often, I'm sure. You know, put them on Twitter. I think between Spencer and Scanlon will be pretty fun to watch Ed Ridley.
All right, well, we'll remind you to visit simplecontacts.com/lacrosse for all your needs in the eyewear area. And otherwise, we thank you, as always, for listening to this edition of the IL Preps podcast. Follow us on Twitter. I am at Terrence Foy.
At Ty Zanders.
At Dan Ayburn.
And hit us up at Inside Lacrosse and at IL Preps on Twitter and Instagram. Once again, thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and we will be back next week.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.